Yet Muslims were made the object of persecution from the very beginning. Those who were poor, of little means and had no position, suffered the most. They were mocked and laughed at. But when ridicule failed, the disbelievers resorted to physical attacks and torment. Stones and dirt were hurled at them. Some 100 Muslims were permitted to leave Mecca, abandoning their homes and seeking refuge in neighboring Abyssinia, a Christian land. For those who stayed behind, the persecution increased. Bilal, a black Abyssinian slave who had accepted Islam, was laid outstretched on the burning sand at the behest of his brutal master, while large heavy rocks were placed on his chest. "Where's your God now?" the disbelievers taunted him. But no amount of torture could shake his faith. The believers would never give up Islam. So a new tactic was adopted by the chiefs of Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ and his followers were evicted and forced to live in a confined section of town. No provisions were allowed to get through to them, and they had to suffer long torturous periods without food or water, not eating for days or even weeks on end. This boycott began in the 7th year after the commencement of the Quranic revelation and lasted for 3 long years. But by the grace of Allah, some kind hearts amongst the persecutors could not tolerate the victimization any longer. Their will gradually softened, and the ban was finally lifted. Again, the people were able to observe and listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the most handsome of men, of medium height, black hair and beard. His teeth shone gleaming white when he smiled. But it was his character and perfect behavior which made the greatest impression. His words were always full of guidance and wisdom. The customs and traditions of the tribal society in Arabia were shaken and revised by the extraordinary spirit of his teachings. He said, "Support your brother, whether he is doing wrong or he has been wronged." A man inquired, "O Messenger of Allah, I can help him if he's been wronged. But how can I support him if he's doing wrong?" He said, "Prevent him from doing wrong. That is how you support him." Muhammad's kindness and merciful nature was also unparalleled. Often when he passed by a group of children, he would pass his hand affectionately over their heads, and sometimes would even join in innocent games. He said, "There are for Allah 100 mercies, of which only one was sent down among the jinn, mankind, beasts, birds, and insects. Through it they incline towards each other. Through it they show mercy to one another, and through it they show affection to their younger ones. And Allah has reserved for Himself 99 mercies, with which He will show mercy to His servants on the day of resurrection." He gave special place and honor to women. In one stroke, Islam raised them to a position unimaginable in the society at that time, guaranteeing them rights and liberties not equaled anywhere. "Paradise lies beneath the feet of your mother," he said. But the majority still persisted in their ways of ignorance and continued to reject him.